Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
See me when you can hear me. I got the chat on screen. This is our Thursday casual at noon Q&A session. We were supposed to do a Q&A session Tuesday when the book released, but I ended up giving a spontaneous sermon for an hour talking about deliverance and why it's needed and why it's not happening in the church. So if you didn't watch that video, it literally was like my lowest viewed live ever. So I'm going to chop that up, repost some of those clips because I thought they were really good. But yeah, for whatever reason, it did not get in the algorithm. It did not get recommended. It did not go in people's sub box. So here we are. We're going to do Q&A today, though. So whatever questions you have, this is an ask me anything. Nothing is off limits. We'll talk about whatever. And we do these weekly kind of recaps, talking about the week, what God is doing, and answering your guys' questions. All right. So I have it on slow mode for 30 seconds. That's probably not slow enough. But make sure that you put Q or just tag me and then ask your question. That'll help us out a lot. All right. That's going to help us out if you do that. So let me grab this. It does take me a moment sometimes because I have to read through some of these questions. Not every single one of them is a question that's like answerable. Some of them are statements. Sometimes you guys just post your testimony. But I'm going to run through these as good as I can. I'm going to make sure all the chat. Ooh, I have the top chat. Let's go live chat here. Hope you guys are having a great day today. It's been a great week. Our book is number one in two categories, and it's almost number one in the third category. You get to pick three categories when you publish a book for Amazon charts. And we are number one in two of them, and then number five in the third one, which is spiritual growth. And I think we're going to be right on number one probably today. So please keep pre-ordering the book. Got it right here. If you haven't pre-ordered it, it's been pre-ordered so long. It's out now. You don't have to pre-order it. You can order it. How to Cast Out Demons. Go to Amazon or click the link there. That'll help us out. Okay. Someone said, question, I had a huge deliverance a couple weeks ago from homosexuality. And that's amazing. Yes, people can be delivered from homosexuality. It is spiritual. It's a spirit. And I've seen God deliver people, so that's amazing. They said, now my ex wants to get back together and work on our relationship. And isn't that crafty how right when you get deliverance, all of a sudden your ex wants to get back together? How can I tell her in a loving way that I can't? Great question. Here's what you have to do. You have to be honest. You have to say, I'm serving God now. I'm going all in with God. I'm on this journey, and I can't live in a sinful relationship any longer. This is what the Bible says. I'm standing on the Bible, and it's nothing against you. I'm not trying to be rude. But I can no longer be in this relationship any longer. I need to serve the Lord and be all in for God. So you just have to be honest. And for those of you that are struggling with homosexuality, I would highly recommend going through deliverance. Some people think, oh, it's just this way. I was born this way. Well, number one, you're not going to be born again that way. So when you're born again, you're not going to be born again like that. Number two, I've seen people that have it as a spirit and God can deliver you. And I know it's like taboo to say homosexuality is a spirit. People get all mad and, oh, how could you say that? Also, I could say that because number one, it's not a spirit that comes from God. If you have that spirit did not come from God. Number two, I've seen people get delivered from it. I've watched people that were living homosexual lifestyles, no desire for God, and the Lord radically deliver them. So I know that God can deliver you from it. I know that God can heal you, all right? Could laziness and demotivation be a spirit or just a matter of deciding to be disciplined? Both. I've definitely seen the spirit of laziness cast out of people. It could be that, or it could also be deciding to discipline yourself. It's not always easy to be disciplined. So you could definitely be disciplined and get free from that as well. All right. I know a lot of mental health issues are demonic. Have you ever seen someone deliver from narcissism? Narcissism is just pride. That's what a narcissist is somebody that's full of pride. So yes, I've seen people get delivered from the spirit of pride. But a narcissist is essentially someone that's just extremely prideful. So I would say, yeah, there's definitely deliverance for that. And people just have pride. We need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God. The stream's lagging. Oh, that's not good. It might just be your phone. Try to refresh. Your internet might be going out. Is my sickness spiritual, though? Well, there's a couple things you have to ask yourself. If there's no physical cause for something, it's probably spiritual. If the doctor's telling you that there's no cause, there's no medicine, there's nothing we can find, there's no tumor, there's no imbalances, everything's checking back fine, which a lot of people get that report from the doctor, then likely it's something spiritual. We know that doctors cannot diagnose spiritual issues. And if they could, they probably wouldn't. Even if it's a Christian doctor that understands these things, they'll get in trouble if they start telling you, oh yeah, that's a spirit, you need to get deliverance. And like Luke 13, I talked about that on Tuesday. This woman had a physical ailment. She was bent over for 18 years. Jesus recognized it wasn't a physical thing that a doctor can cure. It was a demon of infirmity. It was literally a spirit of infirmity. Now, not every spirit that causes sickness has to be a spirit of infirmity, but likely there's a spirit of infirmity there. There's no sickness in the garden. So sickness came in with sin. And there's places in the Bible that talk about when you sin, you can bring sickness upon yourself. This is something people don't think about. There are people that are sick, and I hate to say it, they're sick because they've allowed sin in their life and they're physically sick. The Bible says secret sin will make you sick. The book of Proverbs talks about that. That's why when Jesus healed the man, he said, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. And Jesus healed him of sickness. But then Jesus said, if you go sin, something worse will happen. So sin is an open door to sickness often. But we always think it's just random. It just happened. We never stop to think that sickness could be caused from something. We never stop to think that unforgiveness could be the open door to sickness. We never stop to think that arrogance, anger, bitterness, resentment, lust, perversion could be the open door to sickness. And I'm not even talking about just the spirit of infirmity or a spirit causing sickness. I'm just talking about in general, we always just think, oh, they're just sick and it's random. But what if the sickness isn't random? What if there's secret sin and that's opened the door to sickness in your life and you're physically sick because something you're doing spiritually? Because sin is a very spiritual thing. When you are sinning, you are opening up a spiritual door to unclean spirits and to sickness. So I don't know 100% how it all works every single time, but I would say if you're going to the doctor over and over and over again and they can't figure out why, that it's likely it's spiritual. I've prayed for people before and the Lord's given me discernment and said, they don't need healing, they need deliverance. And I'm like, this is not a physical thing where we just need to pray healing over you. There's a time to pray healing, there's a time to pray deliverance. You need to go through deliverance. And this is something, again, we see in the Bible. Life is not as random as you think. You see people die sometimes traumatically and we just go, oh, it just happened. That's not always the case. There are sometimes spiritual things at play. There are sometimes spiritual things at work. And we take life too much as random. We don't look at the deeper meaning in things and we don't look at things being spiritual enough. Everything's spiritual. The Bible says, let your eyes be focused on the unseen, not the seen. For the seen is temporary, but the unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18, I believe. So we focus on the unseen realm. That's the world is all around us happening right now. All right, lots of questions. And guys, I don't want to answer these questions in 20 seconds. So it is what it is. I'm going to give you guys the answer that I feel to give, and it is what it is. All right. And when it comes to mental health, like I said, not everything's demonic, not everything's a demon, but I would say more things are a demon than you probably realize or you probably recognize. And say it's not a demon, that you have a mental illness or health issue or whatever, deliverance is just prayer. So there's nothing wrong with going for prayer. I just don't see the problem with going for prayer. Okay. Nico saying, who's your favorite sibling? I plead the fifth. I was raised by Christian parents, missionaries. My dad left the faith for New Age. I keep praying for him. He knew God. Is he in more danger now that he knows the truth and left? I mean, yeah, the Bible says that you're worse when you come to the knowledge of the truth and reject it and turn from the truth. Is there a chance for him to repent? Yes. Can God bring him back? Yes. But there is a greater judgment for those that have been saved and born again and knew the truth and walked away from it. There's a greater judgment for those people. We're judged based on what we know. To an extent, the more you know, the more judgment there is because you're accountable for what you know. So yeah, there's definitely a greater judgment. You just need to keep praying for him. But it is much more dangerous to have the knowledge of the truth and turn from it. The New Age, what is it? It's an umbrella term. An umbrella term for a bunch of spiritual practices. So like Hinduism, Buddhism, all those would fall under the New Age movement. Astral projection, psychics, mediums, tarot cards, Ouija boards, dream catchers, all of these spiritual practices. Pretty much anything that is gaining access to the spiritual realm outside of the Holy Spirit or God would fall under the umbrella term, the New Age movement. This is a new thought practice. When you're talking about energy, when you're talking about the law of attraction, when you're talking about all of these things manifesting your destiny, that's New Age. It's not through the Holy Spirit. It's not biblical. So it is another way. It's another spirit, another gospel. And there is a New Age gospel. These people do preach, and that's the New Age movement. Can Leviathan be cast out? Yes, just like any other spirit, Dan. All right. Are you speaking at Breakers Conference? Yes, for next year I am speaking, and I spoke at this last year. Could I have a demon if I feel like every time I go to church, people give me dirty looks and make me feel unwanted? I've struggled with rejection my whole life. Yes. Yes. There's a girl I had on my channel. Some of you have seen her testimony, Marcella. You can go back and search. I don't even remember the title. I think we had to change the title because it got censored on YouTube. But it's one of the podcasts at the studio. And she would literally walk in a room and she said that she'd hear a voice saying, they hate you, nobody likes you. And it was a rejection spirit. It was a spirit of rejection that every time she'd get in a room, she would hear voices saying, you're hated, nobody loves you, and got delivered and never heard those voices again. So yeah, if you're going to church and you feel like everyone's giving you dirty looks, everybody's rejecting you, nobody likes you, again, seek out deliverance. Seek out deliverance. These spirits, guys, remember, demons are persons, personalities without a body. So in the same way your friend or family has a personality, like, oh, that's just his personality, right? We all have our own personality. Nobody has the same personality. Spirits, Ephesians 6, are personalities, persons that don't have physical bodies. They look for a body to inhabit. Matthew chapter 12, they call us their home. So when these spirits are in us, they interweave into our personality and we start taking on their attributes. So if you have a spirit of rejection or a spirit of loneliness or a spirit of anger, whatever it is, that's what your personality becomes. And oftentimes you can know that it's a spirit in you because you'll hate that. You'll be like, I hate this in me. I hate that I have this. Well, it's because it's not you. It's something living on the inside of you that's hijacked your body, and you got to let it know you can't live here any longer. You have to evict that thing. All right. How do you know if you're speaking in holy tongues and not demonic tongues? Very, very easily. If you ask for something good, God is not going to give you something demonic or bad. Jesus said, if you being evil, talking about parents, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a snake. So you're not going to, the point is you're not going to ask for something godly and God's going to give you something counterfeit or something demonic. So that's the bottom line. Did you ask for demonic tongues? No? Okay, then you're not speaking in demonic tongues. And I would say nobody's speaking in demonic tongues on accident. People that are doing it are willingly doing it. They're opening themselves up to demons, and it's literally demons speaking out of them. And demonic tongues is the way they communicate with demons. It's the way they communicate with the demonic realm. So no, I would say you're not doing it on accident. Now, there's a chance, this is another topic, you're making up your tongues, but that's not the same as speaking in demonic tongues, okay? And the Lord will show you. The Lord will give you conviction for that, whether you're making it up or not. I could talk a little bit more about that as well. My pastor doesn't practice deliverance. Should we tell him about it? Yes, for sure. I would go to your pastor. So many questions, so many good questions coming in. And I'm just scrolling through, finding one. If I don't answer, feel free. And like, if I don't answer a question, wait for like 2 minutes and ask it again. Because I'm just scrolling and there's too many comments. I can't keep up with all of them. Obviously, there's like hundreds of questions already coming in. Go to your pastor humbly. Pay attention here. Humbly and respectfully. And say, hey, pastor, this is in the Bible. I read through the Gospels. I see Jesus casting out demons everywhere. I look at the book of Acts, specifically Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 16. I see the disciples casting out demons. I know that our culture is demonized, and I know people need deliverance. So what are your thoughts on this? Is there a reason why? Ask it as a question. Be honorable and respectful. Is there a reason why we don't do deliverance? And again, you can put this book in his hand. $14 on Amazon, and it has why you should do deliverance, all about Jesus' deliverance ministry. I got you this book. It's somebody I follow online. He's a part of a great church. He pastored for a decade. He travels and preaches. Would you read this or pray about this? I think the church would be beneficial. It's likely your pastor doesn't do it because he doesn't think Christians could have demons, and that's like one of the devil's greatest lies. But we definitely need it in the church, and we need to start doing deliverance. If you're a pastor, yeah, there's Nathan's a pastor. He said they started doing deliverance. If you're a pastor, you got to start doing it. You got to start doing it. It's time to stop playing games, all right? Okay, yeah, tell them about it. How do I get over the fear of praying in front of people on stage? Dan, that's a great question. You just got to ask for the Holy Spirit to give you boldness. The Holy Spirit is the one that will embolden you. And really, man, there's no wrong way to pray. So I'm not sure why you're nervous. Maybe it's just, I don't know if I'm praying wrong. Close your eyes, focus on the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit fill your mouth and lead you. He'll give you the words to speak. He's the one that teaches us to pray. This is what the disciples teach us to pray. So ask the Holy Spirit for boldness, and he'll give you that. All right, what should my financial situation look like as a man interested in courting a godly woman? Well, I don't think you need to have like $10,000 saved up before you court somebody, but you definitely need to have your finances in order, and you definitely need to have an income and a job. I would not recommend anybody that's without a job, without money, trying to get in a relationship with a quote-unquote godly woman, as you said. So your financial situation should look like steady income and work. The Bible says that a man that doesn't work and provide for his family, think about this. I know it's going to make some of you mad. Some of you that are like, you know, just want to ride the system. It says a man that doesn't work is worse than an unbeliever. So as men, our job is to provide for our families. Our job is to work and provide for our families in whatever way that is. Whether you have a business, whether you're doing online, whether you're working construction, whether you're working at a police department, whether you're working in a hospital, whether you're working at Starbucks, I don't know, wherever you're working. We need to have a steady income to provide for our family. The Bible says while we wait for the Lord to return, live quiet and peaceful lives. Don't get involved in everybody's drama. The Bible says make every effort to live holy and blameless and work with your hands. Work hard with your hands. Labor. Work. Provide for your family. So again, there's a million ways you can generate income in our society, and everywhere is different, but our job is to be providers, okay? I honestly believe that. I believe, now, don't go quit your job, ladies. You got to use your own conviction, all of that. I'm just saying, I personally, I'm very traditional. I believe the man is the breadwinner. He's the one that should be working. I know it's hard, the world we live in. A lot of times it has to be the man and the woman working to make ends meet, and there's no shame for that. Praise the Lord for you, all that. I just think that the man is supposed to be the breadwinner. He's the hunter. He's the one that provides. And the wife stays home, keeps the house together, keeps the food going, keeps the kids going, and does those things. I'm very, very traditional. So, for example, I would never marry somebody who didn't want to have kids, didn't want to stay at home, and just wanted to be a career woman. That's not what I feel God called me to, or God's design for marriage or for families. That's just all I'm saying. That's personally what I think it should be. It's the healthiest model. The kids need, because the thing is, the mom goes out and works, and then she hires somebody to babysit the kids, and or they're at school all day long, and then you see them for 2 hours. It's like, how are you discipling kids? How are you going to pour into them? How are you going to spend quality time with them? What you see right now is most people in prison grew up in homes where two parents weren't present. So it's important that you're present. It's important that you're home with your kids. We should all strive for that. Now, I'm not saying that it's a sin if the mom works or anything like that. Some of you could work part-time. Some of you work full-time and still are able to be with the kids, and you've made the schedules work. That's all. Praise God for all of that. I don't want anyone to feel ashamed or guilty for not being staying at home. I just think God's original design is that the man works and the woman stays home. I mean, even if it means working two, three jobs to make ends meet. It's me. Even if it means working overtime on the weekend to make ends meet. I would just do what you could to be there for your kids, because you don't want to have to pay somebody else to raise your kids for you. And then some of you are working, you're making like $20 an hour, and then you're paying a babysitter $15 an hour. So you're really making $5 an hour. Just stay home with your kids for $5 an hour. Downsize the house, downsize the car, downsize the eating out. Make it work to be home. It's so important. You have these little years with your kids. It's so important that you spend time with them. All right? Okay, here we go. I had a dream I was casting out a demon. Does that mean anything? Yeah, it means you should start casting out demons. For sure. What could be a spiritual cause of repeated miscarriages and miscarriages? Well, I've definitely dealt with people that had curses on their womb and demons in their womb. So I've seen that before. So that could be a cause. Other than that, there's a million different things that could cause a miscarriage. So it could be a biological, could be a chemical imbalance, could be something physical that a doctor needs to give you medication or some supplement or some hormone for. But when you talk about spiritually, I've seen people where they had something spiritually going on causing miscarriages, for sure. Okay, I already talked about the speaking in holy tongues and not demonic tongues. I don't know why it's repeating a bunch of these comments here on YouTube. Okay, now it's going. How do you deal with religious spirits in someone? My mom is Catholic. I'm really worried for her salvation. Prayer. That is the hardest spirit to battle, is the religious spirit. I mean, you guys probably already know that's the spirit that comes against me the most. And when I mean come against me, I mean in a very public way. There's a religious spirit, and it is a real demonic spirit. It's the spirit that brought Jesus to the cross. It was the Pharisees and Sadducees that wanted him dead. But if it's your parents, I wouldn't ruin your relationship over it or continue to argue and debate them. Share what you know with them, why you think they're in error, and then pray for them. I think a lot of times we think we're going to be the ones to change somebody. We're going to be the one that opened people's eyes. When I'm preaching, I'm fully aware that there's going to be people there that aren't convinced. But it's not my responsibility to convince anyone. It's not my responsibility to make somebody feel a certain way or do a certain thing. When I'm preaching, I'm letting the Lord do the work. I'm planting, I'm doing this, but the Lord brings the increase. So you got to leave it in the hands of the Lord, and you just got to pray and seek the Lord and let the Lord change your mom's heart. He's the one that can take that veil off. He can deliver from that religious spirit. He's the one that's going to help you in the situation. Because a lot of times, especially our parents, are stubborn. They don't want to hear from us, so we just have to pray. Can you be delivered from mental illness? Yes, if it is a spirit, you can be delivered. I've used schizophrenia. I think in my book I talk about this, where if you go to the doctor and say, I hear voices, they're going to say, oh, you're schizophrenic, here's medication. Well, that's not true. That's not what hearing voices is. You just need medicine. You need deliverance. If you are hearing voices, it's not the Holy Spirit and it's not you. You need deliverance, not schizophrenia medication. So that's one example of how quickly we'll get labeled schizophrenic when in reality you need deliverance. So yeah, there's definitely mental illnesses that can be, like another one's bipolar, right? Like I go into fits of rage. I'm happy and fine, then I go into fits of rage. Well, you probably have a spirit of anger or a spirit of rage. It's probably not bipolar. You probably literally have a demon. Again, a lot of this stuff, I don't want to go into all of it, but whenever there's money involved, there's deception, there's manipulation, there's perversion, and the pharmaceutical is one of the highest grossing, how do I say this, businesses there is. This is a multi-trillion dollar industry. So they have incentive to get us on medications. They have incentive to get your kids hooked. That's what this entire, if you don't know what the whole, why they're pushing transgenderism on your kids, the largest pharmaceutical companies have come out and said, we have to get them while they're young so we can get them addicted their whole life. So they get your kids sex changes, they get them on hormones, and then you have to take hormones the rest of your life. So these companies want to get millions of kids sex changes on hormones, and now they're addicted to hormones their entire life. Well, not addicted, but they need the hormones to live their trans life or whatever life they're trying to live. And so these companies are making money off the kids. They don't care about your kids. Do you know how much money is in abortion? We already know. We already know, and if you don't know, now you know. Planned Parenthood has already said they sell the baby's body parts. There's an entire black market where they mutilate these babies, take out their body parts, harvest their organs, and sell their organs on the black market. The top of Planned Parenthood people got caught in literally a dinner saying that they sell children's body parts. It's all wicked, it's all corrupt, and it's all about money. That's what abortion's about. That's what the trans movement's about. It's not about, oh, you need freedom. It's about, no, we want to milk you for every dollar you have, and we want to make money, because money is the root of all evil. A lot of evil in the world is motivated by money. Look at the children's sex trafficking industry. Motivated by money. So yeah, when you get money involved, especially with pharmaceuticals, it gets dangerous. All right, yeah, lots of stuff. No, for those of you that are living in my area, I'm not doing one-on-one deliverance right now. I just don't have the bandwidth, the schedule, and I have people that I'm praying with and doing deliverance with. And if I opened it up, it wouldn't be fair to just say, I'm only going to do it with you. And if I opened it up, I would have a list of 1,000 people. What if I'm not growing at my church? Should I leave? Okay, so good question. This is what I look for in a church, more than am I growing or not. Because I can grow at home, reading the word, praying. I'm looking for a place that I'm going to be challenged. I'm looking for a place where I can get involved in corporate worship. I'm looking for a place where I can let my ministry gifts strive. I'm looking for a place that has prayer meetings and praise. I'm looking ultimately for a pastor or a leader that is humble. God resists the proud. I want to be under a pastor that will get on his knees and cry out to the Lord. I want to get under a pastor that will preach on the lukewarm church and say, we're lukewarm, we need to repent. I want to be around people that are humble, that are hungry, that are on fire, that are passionate, that are excited. I can't be under somebody that's arrogant, that doesn't see their need for God. And this is something I want to be as a leader, and I hope you guys get this whenever I'm teaching and preaching, if you've been a part of our live streams, is, Lord, I need you. I need to be on my knees. I need to be in prayer. I need to be on my face. I respond to all my own altar calls because I'm hungry. Lord, I don't know it all. I've said that a million times. I don't know it all. I want to stay humble, hungry, broken, and being like, Lord, I need you in my life every day. For leaders not to be able to vocalize that is dangerous. Like if you, how do I say this without being, this is just to get you wrapped around what I'm trying to say. If you've never seen your pastor on his knees, if you've never seen your pastor on his face, if you've never seen your pastor at the altar, if you've never seen him cry and say, Lord, I need you, and be in prayer, to me, that's probably not a church that I could submit under. We have to be contrite. We have to be broken. We have to be humble. Humility goes such a long way, such a long way. So yeah, we definitely need to be in a church that's like that. So that's what I look to more than like, am I going to be fed? Because again, I'm not a baby. Only babies need to be fed. I'm there to praise the Lord, worship the Lord. Of course, I want to grow and be challenged. But the church is a gas station. It's not the journey. We go and get refilled for the journey. We're only there for an hour and a half once a week. It's less than 1% of our week. So my focus is more not what I'm doing in the church, but what am I doing for God outside the church? I'm not really concerned with, do I lift my hands in praise for 30 minutes on Sunday? I'm looking for, do I lift my hands in praise throughout the week? Does my lifestyle reflect God? So that's more what I'm looking for. But again, my I put a high priority on a humble leader just because, oh, pride is a stench to God's nostril. I just hate pride. I don't know if there's anything more I hate than a prideful leader. If you look at any of my close friends, I don't have any prideful friends. If a leader or a pastor is prideful, me and him are not going to be friends. We're not going to hang out. It's just going to be awkward just because pride is just frustrating to me. Okay. What if he doesn't preach about sin at all? I mean, yeah, if your pastor's not preaching on sin or talking about repentance or talking about hell or talking about the power of God, yeah, I would definitely find a new church. I would definitely find a new church. My family says I'm too radical. How do I deal with this? I take it as a compliment. That's a compliment. When they call you crazy, when they say you're doing too much, when they say you're too radical, that's a compliment. When can we watch the Domino Revival? I'm not sure, but I saw there was a DVD pre-order on Amazon that comes out in January. So I didn't even know DVD players were a thing still. But yeah, I'm sure the digital release will probably be around the same time, I'm guessing. But I don't have an exact day. Where in the Bible does it say we should take medications if we are sick? I don't think it does. But like I said, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor and he wrote the book of Acts. And there's definitely mentions of physicians in the Bible. So I don't think it's wrong. I would just use discretion. The only time I personally, and I'll just be transparent with you guys. Again, this is... I'm not a doctor. I cannot give you medical advice. Don't get off your medication because of what I'm saying, okay? Please pray, use discretion, talk to your doctor. I believe in doctors and medicine and all that. I believe God's given us medicine and all that stuff, okay? So please hear what I'm saying. Well, I'm talking about the mental health, antidepressants, all that. I would never take any of that. This is me personally. Now, I'm not telling you not to. Let me just tell you me personally. I would never take antidepressants. I don't take pain medication. I don't take Vicodin, I don't take morphine, none of that. Like if I get something done and they say, you need to take this Vicodin, I don't take any of those, anything that's addictive, anything that's I don't need, I'm not gonna take. Now, if I got cancer and there's cancer throughout my body and I prayed and prayed and prayed and believed for healing every day like I would if I got, God forbid, I got cancer, and the doctor says, hey, we can give you chemo, we can do these treatments, I would do the treatments. I would look at it as, hey, this could save my life, this could extend my life. And so, yeah, let that go and kill these cancer cells. If the Lord doesn't heal me, I have no problem with that. That's different than taking antidepressants because you're like, I'm having bipolar. I'm having anxiety. I'm depressed. I'm going to go get some medication that isn't even proven to change serotonin levels or even help with these things. It usually makes it worse. So that's what I'm saying by medicine. Every medicine's different. I'm not against medicine. I'm just against the fact that you go to the doctor and say, oh, yeah, I'm depressed, and they put you on 14 antidepressants. I have a friend that told me that. She's like, I went to the doctor and said I was depressed. No test, no check to see if there's a chemical imbalance. Just depressed. And then all of a sudden now you're on all these antidepressants that completely change your biological makeup, completely change your personality. That's what I'm against. All these things, right? I have ADHD. Okay, well, be more productive. Maybe God gave you that so you can work hard and you can do things for him. You don't need to go take a pill so that you no longer, you know, have this desire to do a bunch of things. I don't know. I just think that we're just so quick to say, I have anxiety, I need medicine. Or maybe you have anxiety because you have no walk with God. Maybe you have anxiety because you don't pray. Maybe you're so focused on tomorrow and Jesus said, only worry about today. That will cure your anxiety. Only worry about today. You're worried about months ahead of time now. Why? Worry about now. Worry about now. So again, I have anxiety, I need medication. Well, what is your anxiety stemming from? Maybe it's not medication or chemical imbalance. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to fast. Like, you haven't even tried fasting. You have anxiety, depression, and you're going to get a pill, but you haven't tried fasting. You haven't tried to pray yourself through. Someone said, look for the root. Exactly. Like Tanya just said, right? I'm saying if it's not a spirit, before I get on a medication, I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna seek the Lord. We gotta go to these things as believers, as Christians. Put it before God. Tell him, Lord, take this weight from me. But I wouldn't be so quick to run to medicine. Can you still get attacked when you're prayed up? Yes, absolutely. Excuse me, guys. My nose is itchy. Yes. Yes, absolutely. You can still get attacked when you're prayed up. We're in a war. We're in a battle. It's spiritual. We're really warring. It's no game. It's no joke. We're in a spiritual war. If you don't believe that, read the Bible. It's no joke. All right? Why do people fall out during prayer? Well, most charismatics or Pentecostals will tell you it's when the power of God touches you. It's kind of a reaction your body takes. I've probably fallen out a few times. I've seen it happen, obviously, thousands of times. I don't think it's as common as most people make it be out to be. And I don't like making a doctrine out of it because I think a lot of people, including friends of mine, push people down, which is terrible. It's terrible. The whole movement where you see people falling all the time at the altar, on the stage, it's definitely, God can definitely do that. And I've seen it happen. It's happened to me. It's that. But I don't think it's as often as we're making it seem. And what's happening is people feel like if I don't fall, nothing happened to me. My goal is not to get you to fall. My goal is to get you to change. There's a lot of people that fall over at the altar and they fall down addicted to porn and they get up addicted to porn. They fall down angry and they get up angry. So if God's power touched you, but there was no change, was it really God's power? Then you make this whole movement where people have to fall. So then they feel obligated, like, oh, if I don't fall, I'm on stage here. There's 20 people lined up. I'm going to be the weird one. And then they fall as a courtesy fall. Then they make this false encounter. It just gets really weird. And then the ministers, guys, a lot of these ministers, I won't mention any names, that are hyper into the slaying of the spirit thing. And they're like, everybody has to fall. If you see them on stage and everybody's falling over, right? It's like a lot of these guys push people. I've been in the meetings. I've been in the churches. I've gotten pushed many times. There's nothing more gross to people than faking and pushing people down. There's nothing that grieves, in my opinion, the Holy Spirit more than when you're pushing people down. He does not need your help. When I lay hands on people, I'll put my hand on their head as light as possible. And if I prayed for you, no one in here can say I pushed you or I put pressure on you. I go real light. And if the Lord knocks you over, then cool, praise God. But I'm not gonna put any pressure. When you see guys going like this, screaming, and the person's neck's all the way back, not mentioning any names, that's called pushing. That's demonic, it's deceptive, it's manipulation, it's witchcraft, and it's wrong. So that's why you're not gonna see me lining people up on stage and every single one of them going down. It just gets very, very unhealthy. If it happens, it happens, right? But we're not seeing that as normative all the time happening in the scripture. And I'm not trying to be religious. Guys, I'm charismatic. I speak in tongues. I cast out demons. I heal the sick. I believe in slaying the spirit. I believe in them. If the Lord wants to pick you up and throw you 20 feet, I'm down. Cool. That's fine. He can do whatever he wants. I'm not going to limit God. I'm talking about when movements make that, you have that to encounter God, when that's not even biblical. It's not even biblical to say this has to happen for you to encounter God. Again, God can do whatever he wants, but we can't make idols out of this stuff. We can't make idols out of slaying or tongues or any of it. Let the Lord move how he wants to move. I've seen a lot of unhealthy, bad things happening in the church, manipulation and all that. So when you're been in thousands of services and you've seen the good and the bad, it gets, you know, it's hard not to get cynical, but you have to also use balance and say, okay, this is unhealthy. All right. Oof, lots of questions coming in. All right, let's see. Can the Lord bring peace when you're with a person? Is that confirmation they're supposed to be in your life? Cabbage farmer, cool name, by the way. That's cool if you are a cabbage farmer. Yeah, that's one way the Lord confirms things, is he brings a peace about it. If you're at angst with a decision or you have anxiety about somebody you're with or something you're doing, probably the Lord nudging you, saying this isn't me. But if you're at peace with something, it could be a pretty clear sign that the Lord is speaking to you. That's if you're in the will of God. That's if you're praying, if you're fasting, if you're studying and all that. I'll be back in Arizona at the end of January. So for sure. All right, my nephew is in a Christian home. No open doors. Doesn't manifest at home, but at his school only, he's been acting out and saying demonic words of knowledge. Why is this? Not sure, but I would try to take him through deliverance. And might be just when he gets around his friends that are demonized as well, those demons get triggered. You know, demons trigger demons. So if you're around people that are demonized and you have demons and you're fine at home in a place, environment of peace and joy in the Lord, demons know when to act up. They don't act up all the time because they'll give themselves away. So they wait for the most opportune time where they can do maximum damage. And then they make themselves known and then they manifest. So that could be why. All the questions about when are you coming here or there, all I know is I will be in Arizona in January and I'll be in Georgia in March. Those are the only dates I have. And in October of next year, I'll be in Chicago. That's it. What are your thoughts on apostles in these times? I think there's apostles still. Not apostles as in, you know, they write scripture and all that, but an apostle is a sent one. So yeah, the Lord's, I believe in all five. I believe in the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the apostle, and the prophet. So I believe in all five. Ephesians 4:11, the five offices, these are gifts to the body of Christ. That's literally what the fivefold ministry is. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, they're gifts to God. Sadly, like just think about, have you ever asked yourself this question? In the Bible, there's five offices. Like I said, pastor, evangelist, teacher, apostle, and prophet. In the American church, how many offices are there? One. There's a pastor. Everybody has a pastor. And if God forbid there's a prophet on staff, God forbid there's an apostle, then you get canceled. Oh, you think you're an apostle? And all the Pharisees rear their ugly heads. But in the Bible, I thought we were going by the Bible. I thought we were doctrinally sound. If you're doctrinally sound, you have to acknowledge all five. You literally have to. Now, if you don't, you're just saying, I don't want the gifts God is giving. So yeah, these are biblical. And you know what's, take it a step further. There's prophets, apostles, evangelists, all that in the Bible. Do you know there's not one person in the New Testament named pastor? There's no Pastor Peter. There's no Pastor Matthew. There's no Pastor Philip. There's no pastor. There's no Pastor Paul. Yet now, and of course, pastors are biblical. I'm just saying there was no one with a named pastor. Yet in Acts 28, we see Philip the evangelist. So, but now all we care about is pastors. Because we just think, well, that's the most safe. That's what everybody knows. Just, we have to realize a lot of the stuff we do in the church, especially the modern American Church Incorporated, is not biblical. It's all traditional. It's all religious. So yeah, but I also don't believe in you're an apostle now and it's on your business card just because. If you haven't planned anything, if the Lord hasn't sent you, then you're not an apostle. You're not an apostle. So yeah, they're definitely real. It's definitely alive and well. Here's my stance on the title thing. I feel like I'm about to contradict myself right now. I don't go by a title just because I just don't like being called a title. So it's not wrong. I'm probably the wrong one by not being called a title, but I just like to be called Isaiah. Please don't call me pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle. I'm not going to correct you, but I would never have anybody around me calling me apostle. You'll put it this way. You're never going to be like, welcome apostle Isaiah Saldivar. It's not wrong for other people to do it. I have no problem. I believe in it. I think we need it. And maybe it's just for me specifically, the Lord's having me in this place, but I just don't identify, and I don't know. Maybe because it's a stumbling block for people now. It is. If I, like, say people call me Prophet Isaiah, that'd be a huge stumbling block. Tons of people wouldn't even listen to me because I said that. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. That's personal. And I could be wrong. Maybe in a year or two, the Lord corrects me. Maybe in a year or two, you know. Paul's an apostle, but yet Paul called himself bondservant of Christ, slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul called himself. Other people called him an apostle. But Paul wasn't going out being like, I'm an apostle, blah, blah, blah. And again, I could be wrong on some of this stuff. I just see Paul being like slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be known for. I want people to be like, Isaiah's a slave to Christ. I don't know. Again, I'm just processing this as I talk. I could be wrong on some of this. And maybe one day the Lord's going to be like, you need to be called by a title. And I maybe will. I don't know. But I just can't see it. I can't see it. I've never been that way. It could also be because I got saved and I was an atheist. I never aspired. To this day, I have no aspirations to be anything great. I have no aspirations to be some big name, no aspirations to be some megachurch pastor. You couldn't pay me $1 million a year to take over a megachurch because it's not my calling. This is where God wants me, and I'm following the cloud, not the crowd. So, all right, do you think the earth is flat or the earth is round? Oh, we're going to really spark up. This ask me anything. So, yeah, go ahead. Give me the controversial ones. I believe that the earth is round. I don't believe that it's flat. And we could go on that. I don't want to be cynical. I don't want to make fun of you for it. But I do not believe that the earth is flat. Not only because, yeah, I don't want to go into it. Because I already know I'm going to make people mad. It's like asking, can pets go to heaven? All right, we're not going to go into it. But I believe in a round earth. I do not believe in a flat earth. Let's just say I've seen the curvature of the earth just being in an airplane many times. I have hundreds of thousands of miles on just American Airlines. And I could see as I'm flying the curvature of the earth. But it's okay. You believe it's flat, I'll believe it's round, and then it's not even going to matter when we get to heaven. Nobody's going to be in heaven being like, told you so. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't change the way you live. It's trivial. Just like the pets going to heaven. It's fun to talk about, but it doesn't matter. It's not a salvation issue. It doesn't matter. And again, we can go into the like, have you ever driven to the end of the earth and fell off? And all of those questions that make no sense if you're flat earth, but I'm not trying to dunk on you. I just believe it's round. Okay, let's see. Lots of questions. How did you know you and Alyssa were ready to have kids? Listen, I'm one of those people that's like, children are a gift from the Lord, and Lord, I want any gift you have for me. So we live in a generation where it's just, you got to have it all together. You have to have the degree, the house, everything has to be perfect and ready. I'm just like, children are a gift from God. They're arrows in the quiver. And thank you, Lord. We're going to figure it out. We'll take them with us traveling. Our daughter went with me everywhere, traveling, preaching. She had her passport when she was born and went with me to Canada, went with me to Arizona all the times, went with me to North Carolina, went with me to Georgia, went with me to Washington. She was all over. Wherever me and my wife went, she went. If we went to bed at midnight, she was there with us till midnight. If we went to bed at 9 o'clock, she was there at 9. If we woke up in the morning, we just took our kids. They're a gift from God. And I didn't sit there like, oh, I have to plan. We have to have 10,000 in the bank first. We have to have everything, our ducks in a line. As Tanya just said, nothing's ever going to be perfect. So just have kids. They're a gift from God. If God wants you to have kids, he'll give you kids. Maybe he's not giving you right now. Maybe you're not ready, but we just trust the Lord. We just trust the Lord and see what happens. But yeah, we're not doing the pets go to heaven. Go to my clips channel. I already answered that last week. Is self-deliverance biblical? Okay, bunch of questions on self-deliverance today. Can you do self-deliverance? All things are possible through Christ. Let's just say that. Yes, self-deliverance happens. It works to an extent, but is it the biblical model, the optimal model to get demons out? No, it's not optimal. It's not necessarily, well, I don't want to say it's not biblical because all things are possible with Christ. But it's not the way the Bible prescribes it. So it can work. There's things that can work, but they're not the prescription God gives. The model that God gives is believers with the authority of Christ cast demons out of people. That's the model God gives. There are challenges with self-deliverance. Like if you're doing self-deliverance and the demon tries to talk and you're trying to talk at the same time, it's hard to command a demon to leave when it's trying to talk out of you. It's hard to command a demon to leave when you're getting choked by the demon while you're manifesting it. It does happen though. And again, the Lord can sovereignly deliver anybody at any time, anyway. But if you're gonna attempt self-deliverance, I have a video about what to do, but I would recommend looking in the mirror. For whatever reason, it just helps. And then doing it the same way you do normal deliverance. I think the Lord knows how desperate you are. And if there's no one around you that can do deliverance on you, you're like, Lord, I want to do deliverance the way you say to do it in scripture. But there's no one around to do it. And I can't find no one on the deliverance map. By the way, we have two deliverance maps, a refresh brand new one and the legacy one with all the older people on there, some active, some not. So we're doing our best to keep the deliverance map going. If you need deliverance, go to deliverancemap.com or isaiahsaldivar.com/deliverance and go set up an appointment with somebody there. But I think the Lord will give you grace if he knows, like, hey, there's nobody around to do it and I'm going to let you do self-deliverance. I'm going to deliver you. So you definitely can. Yeah, Tanya said 4 years ago, the Lord delivered her on her bedroom floor. So yeah, for sure. Can deliverance work over the phone? Absolutely it can. Deliverance is the power, the way you wield the sword of the Spirit is with your words. So the power is in your words. It's commanding things to leave. It's a verbal exchange. It's a legal exchange of words. So you don't have to be there present. I mean, look, Jesus delivered the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. She wasn't even present. She was at home and Jesus said, your daughter's been delivered, and she was delivered. So yes, the Lord can do that for sure, 100%. All right, do you think the asteroid belt in our solar system is the aftermath of the destruction of the ancient planet Rahab? No, I have no clue what you're talking about, where you got that from, but I don't think that. I don't even know where you find that. I didn't know what Rahab was or what planet, ancient planet. I don't know. Is that like a Mormon theory or something? Not sure. When and how can we watch the Domino Revival? It's going to be re-released in theater soon. I don't know the exact day, but it'll also be digitally released, I think, early next year. So it will be digitally released at some point. And I saw a pre-order for the DVD. If any of you oldies but goodies have a DVD player still. All right. Can women wear pants? Yes. Someone says, so do you believe the Earth is rotating 30,000 miles or it's stationary? All right. Isaiah, my guy, you're the best. Love you. Thank you, Trayvon. Thank you, bro. I haven't slept in 7 months due to a panic attack I had months ago. Is it spiritual? Sounds spiritual. I would definitely go for deliverance. Or lots of questions. Yeah, highlight at Isaiah Saldivar. It'll help. Have you ever heard of Life Surge, the Christian conference? It's a blend of faith and finance. I went to one of the local churches and pretty sure it was demonic. I have not heard about it, but I'll look into it. I'll look into it. Mac, if your son's seeing person all red, threatening him, throwing him against the wall, choking him, I would do, like I have a video about getting demons out of your house. I would start with that and then I would do deliverance on him. How do you know the Lord's telling you to move churches? What if he hasn't shown you a different church? Cabbage Farmer, great question. You will know. You will know. One day, you'll be sitting there and you'll feel, this isn't for me. This isn't the place for me. And then start looking for a new church. Ask the Lord to lead you to a new church. When the Lord leads you to a new church, you'll know. Why did you leave Lifesong Church? I love Lifesong. It's one of the best churches I've ever been a part of. I just got lunch with Pastor James last week. I absolutely love Lifesong. I'll be preaching there actually soon. And the only reason why we left Lifesong was because it was an hour plus drive from my house. And my family, my wife, my kids were building a relationship with people that lived over an hour away. And I wanted to have my kids somewhere closer where they can be involved, meet people, have friends. I didn't live over an hour. So if it wasn't for it being over an hour away, I love Lifesong. It was purely for the distance that the Lord, I believe, moved us. But yeah, Lifesong is amazing and will always have a place in my heart. And I was just there last week for baby dedication. I'll be preaching there, I think, in January. Can YouTube deliverance video work? Yes. I've had tons of people say they got delivered watching our YouTube videos. Again, these are words spoken that demons listen to. Do all gay people have a demon? That is a great question. I don't know. I would say, though, when you're talking about perversion, right? It's not a normal sin. Lusting after a woman is a normal sin. Lusting after a man is a perversion. It's an iniquity. It's different than, like, the sin of the flesh. It's unnatural. That is when you start getting into demonic territory, right? Like, if you lust after a woman and you're a man, doesn't mean that you necessarily have a demon. Just because that's a sin, right? It's a sin to lust. If you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have a demon. When you lust after your own sex, that is when you move into the realm of perversion and into the demonic realm. Does it mean that every gay person has a demon? I don't think so. I think most of them probably do. But I would definitely say if you're born that way, you won't be born again that way. And if I was dealing with that, which I never have, praise be to God in my life. Thank you, Lord. If I was, though, I would be praying. I'd be fasting. I'd be going through every deliverance you can think of. Get this out of me. I don't want this. This is not God. And I want to be free from it. Like, seriously, I don't care if I had to go through 30 deliverances. If it was me, I'm just saying me personally. I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I would be doing everything in my power to get in a position to get free, to crucify my flesh, to fast, to pray. Get this out of me. Get this desire out of me. Renew my mind, Lord. I don't care what I have to do. I'm getting rid of this thing. If it was me. All right, let's see. I prayed to heal my husband last night and it didn't work. It was my first time. Any tips on what I did wrong? I wouldn't say you did anything wrong. I would just continue to pray. I think there's a myriad of reasons why somebody doesn't get healed when you pray for them, but I never blame God for it. I think unbelief could play a part. I think sin can play a part. I think the devil has a way of stopping the healing that's taking place in our life. I think there's a lot of reasons why somebody doesn't get healed, but I think it's God's desire to heal all the time. So I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. I would say, Lord, will you show me what could be hindering the healing? And I'm going to keep praying. And some people just don't get healed. Everyone Jesus prayed for got healed, but we're not Jesus. We're learning. Don't be discouraged. If you pray for 100 sick people to get healed and nobody gets healed, keep praying. Keep praying. Can you go to heaven if you have a demon? Yes. A demon can't steal what Christ did on the cross for you. You could have a demon, and a lot of people will have demons and never get delivered and still go to heaven. Because it's not about what you've done, it's about what Christ has done on the cross. That's what salvation's about. Say you have a demon and you never give in to the desires it gives you, you could fight your whole life and never give in to its desires and still die and then go to heaven. A demon cannot steal your salvation, cannot take your salvation from you. A demon can't even make you sin. You can live sin-free with a demon and not give in to the desires, because the demons give you desires and your job is not give in to those. It's just way easier. Like, say you have a demon of lust, and every other day that demon gives you a lustful thought. You never give into it. You never give into its desires, but you have to fight your entire life every few days getting lustful thoughts, but you don't give into them. You're not going to die and then go to hell because you had a demon of lust. You just now are fighting your whole life with something God doesn't want you to fight with your whole life. Get free. Get delivered. Okay, let's see. We're going to take a couple more because we have a prayer call at 1:30. So if you are a monthly partner, we have a prayer call at 1:30. Join that prayer call. If you're not a monthly partner, we do need people's support right now. Please pray about becoming one. You can do that on the giving link right there. Or you can also do it on YouTube membership, which I recommend doing it on my website, not YouTube, because YouTube takes 30%. So do it on my website, and then I'll email you right now a link to the prayer call at 1:30. But we pray together every single week, Thursday at 1:30 p.m. till 2:30 p.m. every single week. Well, it goes way longer. I just stay for an hour. Thursday is a very, very busy day for me because I do streams. I'm out of town in the morning. Then I come and do streams. Then I do the prayer call. Then I film or do interviews. And I have like 5 interviews next week. I'm doing tons of interviews for this book. So, yeah. All right. What demons are the main culprit for condemnation and blocking someone from receiving the love of God? I would say probably a spirit of rejection. Spirit of confusion, spirit of rejection. But demons are not necessarily directly tied to their identity, so they can do things outside of their identity. So just because there's anger doesn't mean it's always a spirit of anger. A spirit of lust could also make you angry. So they usually function according to their names or their personalities or their identities, but not always. Not always. Do you have any biblical references for soul fragmentation? No, I don't teach soul fragmentation, Samantha. I'm ignorant of it. I've never seen it in scripture, and maybe it's there, I just never seen it, so I don't teach it. There are things that are true and could be real, but they're not explicitly taught in scripture, so I try to stay in the bounds of that, but not saying that soul fragmentation is not real, I'm just not comfortable teaching something that I can't find when it's that serious explicitly in scripture, and I don't know enough about it, so. Okay, we're going to take one more, and then we're going to hang out just for a moment, see if you guys have any other thoughts, and we're going to get off. Do you include the Book of Enoch? I'm not sure what that means. Thoughts on the megachurch pastor that's mentoring Justin and Haley Bieber? Is he a false prophet? I'm not sure who is mentoring them right now. I know they've been through multiple pastors. Have you ever done deliverance or healing on animals? Great question, Felicia. That's the last question I'll take. And then we do these Q&As every single week. I'm trying to figure out how to get this like vertical feed, because right now we're in the shorts feed. I don't know how to get this on my computer. I got to figure out how to do it while it's on the computer, and who knows. But right now YouTube's saying if you go live on your phone, vertical will reach a whole new demographic, which is why we're doing these on our phone. If you're wondering why I'm sitting in a studio and not using my studio, it's because YouTube is recommending this on the shorts feed, and we're getting a whole new group of people on these streams. On animals, no, I've never done deliverance on animals, and I've never prayed for animals to be healed. I've heard many testimonies of animals getting healed. I don't know about getting delivered. It's just not something the Bible teaches us to do. The Bible never tells us to cast demons out of animals. We see one place Jesus casted demons into animals. It's not normative. I wouldn't make a practice out of it. But I don't know any places in the Bible where it tells us to cast them out of animals. And then secondly, I don't think I've ever been in a position where I needed to pray healing over an animal. So... yeah, but God can do anything. Can God heal your animal? Of course, he can heal whatever he wants. That's the thing we have to remember, and this is something I never want to be guilty of, is limiting God. All right, we're done taking questions now because it's 1 o'clock and we have a prayer call in 30 minutes. So if you guys would like to give to the stream and keep supporting us, we do this full time for free and we support through donations and viewer support. You can do that there on the links that Emily posted and the links in the description and the links pinned to the comment. If you become a monthly partner, I'll email you 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and an invite to the 1:30 p.m. prayer call. But I just don't want to ever limit God. So even when it comes to like holy laughter and getting slain in the spirit and all these other things we talk about, I don't ever want to say God can't do these things. God can't self-deliver somebody. Like whenever you say God can't, I think you're in danger. Like when, let's just for cessationism, for example, it's an easy target because it's incredibly false. They say miracles are not happening the way they did in the book of Acts or in the Gospels, in that God's not using people to perform miracles. They say deliverances aren't happening anymore, right? Casting out demons isn't for today. They say like tongues isn't for today. What? You're telling me God isn't, can't, and won't do what he did then now. That's wild to say, to try to tell us what God can or can't do right now. Like that is wild. That I don't want to be that person. That's scary. I don't want to be that person. To stand before God in judgment, God be like, you taught people I can't? That's like the guy that has a demonized son and if you can heal my son. And Jesus responds going, what do you mean if? Jesus tells him that. What do you mean if? Are you really telling God if you can heal? If I can? I'm literally God. I can do whatever I want. Don't ever tell God if. Lord, if you could heal me. What? Of course he can heal you. God, if you want to give me tongues, of course he wants to give you tongues. Of course he wants to deliver you. So for all you teaching cessationism out there, and I know you watch all my videos because you literally cut all my videos up. You have to watch all my videos. If you didn't watch all my videos, you wouldn't be able to make montages of how false I am. So yes, all the guys that are heresy hunters you see, they watch all my videos. We already know this because their channels are all about me. They have an entire channels about calling me out, but they watch all my videos. So they're our biggest fans, they're our biggest supporters. They're muted and blocked in the comments, but they're our biggest supporters. You should be scared on Judgment Day for teaching a false demonic doctrine saying God can't do something. That's so wild. We're not answering questions anymore, guys. We're just hanging out in the chat and talking, giving you my final thoughts, giving you guys a chance to support the ministry and give if you'd like. That's just so crazy. Big support from India. Thank you so much. I love all of you in India that watch. What a crazy thing, guys, that we can be on our phones in California, live streaming from my cell phone, and there's people in India watching. That's so amazing. What a time to be alive. Why would we not use social media and the internet to reach millions of people with the gospel? That's so, so crazy. It's so amazing. We don't have to travel across the world. We can do it right here from our house. Greetings from Las Vegas. Hello. From Australia, let's go. Tanya in Australia, love you. What church are you speaking at in Georgia? I will be at the North Georgia Revival Christ Fellowship Church in March again. All right. That's going to be a great time. Aussie support you. I want to come to Australia, Bianca. I do. I know it's like a 22-hour flight from where I'm at or something like that. But at some point, I would love to go. It's just, I don't want to be away from my wife and kids that long. And yeah, I'm just busy right now. But man, I love all of you in South Africa. Any of you, who else is watching from international? Greece, South Africa, Australia, India. Let's go. Where else? Anybody else international in the chat? Let us know. Hello from Ohio. UK, let's go. London, I love this. Croatia, Serbia. Like guys, Turk, come on. Somebody watching in Turkey, Canada, Denmark. I love all of you guys so much. Kenya, I could cry talking about how amazing all of you guys are. Guatemala City, lots of love in South Africa. You guys are amazing. You look cool with a beard. Not happening. New Zealand, I love all you guys so much. Switzerland, I don't ever want to take you guys for granted, this platform for granted. Just know, and I said this a bunch of times, Netherlands, but I'm going to keep saying it. Japan, thank you, Claudia. Mozambique, let's go. Let's go, Nicaragua, let's go. That's so crazy that I could be across the world and there's people across the world, Sri Lanka, that watch our videos. It's just mind-blowing. Fiji, come on. Love you, Isaiah, you're so nice. Thank you, Bianca. What was I saying? I forgot, but I love all of you. Oh, I'll keep saying it though. I don't ever take this for granted. I don't ever feel like you owe me this or I deserve to have all these people watching. Armenia, just know that I appreciate every one of you. London, thank you for being here. I appreciate every single one of you. I'm going to keep doing this as long as the Lord tells me to and wants me to and gives me strength for. China, D, thank you for being here from China. Just keep praying for my family, keep praying for my wife, keep praying for my kids, keep praying for us. Zambia, hello, that we keep doing this because we're going on 6 years. We're going on our sixth year in January. Well, we started December of 2019. So we're about to finish 5 years of full-time online. And I'm just going to keep doing this as long as the Lord gives me grace. So keep praying that he does. Finland, let's go. Sri Lanka, let's go. I don't even know where a lot of these places are, to be honest with you. But I love you. I thank you. And you're family to me. Hope one day I get to meet you. If not, we'll be able to hang out for tons of time in heaven. Norway, let's go. Love you guys. Okay, so you like my shirt? Thank you. You can get on revivallifestyleapparel.com. Guys, if you haven't yet, I don't know how, is this international? Can you guys get this internationally? I'll have to ask my publisher. But please pre-order your book, How to Cast Out Demons. This just came out. It's 200 pages of deliverance training. A lot of the questions you guys are asked are answered in this book. I put a lot of work into this book, so please pre-order on Amazon today. You can get the link in the description and all that. Do members access your prayer meetings? Yes. If you are a YouTube member, just go to the membership tab and you'll have the Zoom ID there. All right. Yeah, my merch, I never really even talk about my merch, but it's revivallifestyleapparel.com. Revivallifestyleapparel.com, or you can go to my website and find it as well. And Diane, you are amazing. All of my moderators, I know I don't thank you guys enough, but you guys are just amazing. I love you guys. Oh, it doesn't come out in Australia until December 4th? That's so crazy. I wonder why. Maybe it takes time to get approved. I'll reach out to my publisher and see what the process is. And I'm also working on, you can't monthly partner through PayPal. Can monthly support? I don't have monthly support on PayPal. I only have through the website and through YouTube. So unfortunately, yeah, I don't think you can do monthly on PayPal. And if you do, it doesn't give you the links and all of that. Yeah, it's on Audible, comes out next week. It's my voice. And it's on Kindle, which we're working on the Kindle because it has some typos that I'm not sure what happened there with the formatting. But yeah, you can get a physical copy for $14 around on Amazon. And then Audible audio version's out next week. I'm going to talk to the publishers about a Spanish version. So I don't know if that's something you guys would be interested in. And then I'll ask them about international, why it's not coming out till December, how that works. Okay. I love you guys so much. It is on Amazon Audible. Yes. My voice. Don't judge me. Okay. I'm not a professional audio book reader person. I don't even know what they're called, but I didn't hire anybody. I did it myself. So I probably won't do it again because it took a long time. So there's definitely going to be some like, whoa, Isaiah doesn't want to pronunciate his words. I slur. I talk fast. I mumble. I already know. Well, I guess I mumble. I don't slur. So yeah, I'm going to talk to them, Lewis, about getting a Spanish version and all of that. Okay. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. I will see you guys on Monday. But yeah, we're staying with these Thursday. I'm doing good. Monday live, Tuesday live, Thursday live. We're live. Here we are. I love you so much. And I'll see you guys soon. God bless. Bye. Salute. If you monthly partner on the website, I'll send you that right now. Okay. Getting off here. Love you guys. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.